Good evening, everyone. I'm not used to speaking into a microphone from the pulpit. In Orthodox schools, we don't always do that. It's a pleasure for us to welcome the well-known author, worldwide lecturer on Jewish ethics, spiritual growth, chinuch, chesed, prayer, Rabbi Pesach Kron. Rabbi Kron is a fifth-generation Moel. He's the author of Bris Milah, a book on circumcision, as well as the popular Maggid series published by Art Scroll. He's one of the founders of Shevach High School in Queens, American Friends of Migdal Or, and American Friends of Kiryat Chinuch Labanim. Rabbi Kron has led tours on the yeshivos of yesteryear and on the Jewish communities of Italy, Greece, Frankfurt, Prague, Vienna, Morocco, Spain, and Gibraltar. And I'm sure many of us have had the opportunity to personally hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Kron. There's a celebrated phrase, a Maimur Chazal, that appears actually in several Masechtos, that tells us, Gadol Shimusham Yeser Milimudam, that when it comes to learning from Talmidei Chachamim, Torah giants, our spiritual guides, role models, and mentors, serving them is almost greater than their Torah. Gadol Shimusham Yeser Milimudam, interacting with them in certain ways is greater than the Torah that they teach. And it's a phrase that's familiar and is indeed celebrated, but it's remarkably counterintuitive. If it weren't for the fact that Chazal said it, it would almost be sacrilegious to say that just spending time with Gedolim and Gedolei Torah is somehow more than or greater than the Torah that they teach. How can Chazal make such an assertion? And I think the answer, when we reflect upon the phrase for just a moment, is somewhat obvious. And that is that Torah is never intended to be just a text, or just a series of texts, a canon or a corpus. Torah is supposed to be a Torah Chayim. It's a Torah that certainly we start by learning, but ultimately it is intended to be lived. And when one spends time with spiritual mentors, leaders, role models, we begin to glean from them that Torah Chayim, that living Torah, how the texts that we study in the study halls in the Beis Medrash is implemented in life. Rabbi Kron is someone who's known for bringing stories to life. He is a Maggid of the highest order. And he is someone who brings to life that Torah Chaim. He shares with us how Torah is not just manifested in a sefer or a set of svarim, but how it plays a role in our daily lives and how it is intended to inspire us in daily life. He doesn't just tell stories. The Torah that comes through the stories is always evident through the words of Rabbi Kron. And certainly as we head into Elul, a time when we try to translate all the Torah that we learn and devote ourselves to throughout the year into action, into meaningful action in our lives, it's a particularly auspicious time to be hearing from Rabbi Pesach Kron. So it is a wonderful zechus and privilege to us to hear from Rabbi Kron. I greatly look forward myself, and I know that many others do as well. And without further ado, Rabbi Kron.
It is a great chus to have been invited by the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Schreier, to come back to this place where I've made many, many little boys cry here. But they've grown up very nicely. Look at this handsome boy right here. You could raise your hand. Look how nice he came out. That's nice to meet these fellas years later. And before by Mincha, Mr. Belitsky was here. I don't know if he's still here. Are you still here? There we are. I think I did four boys for him and a grandson. So it's really wonderful to be here. I thank Chaim Kiss, who first invited me to come to speak here in Bnei Yeshurun. I thank Rabbi Yosef Siv, great Talmud Chacham, who has shared with me many, many Svarim. And I thank you also for inviting me and making the call. Tonight, we hope that everything that we speak about and will be inspirational will be Lazeicha Nishmas, those people that Dr. Jules and Stacy Garden have designated, and that is Rabbi Avram ben Rabbi Mordechai Garden, Tova bas Rabbi Yehuda Garden, Meir ben Shlomo Mermelstein, and Leah bas Chaya Triber. This month of Chodesh Elul is a month of inspiration, and hopefully everything that we say will be a schus for their holy neshamas. I just want to mention that, of course, I always love coming here. I thought I would see, it's hard to miss him, but I thought I would see Joey Bodner here tonight. Oh, where's Joey? Hey, how you doing, Joey? How could I have missed you? Joey's everybody's best friend. That's such an honor to see you, and you should always have continued refuah and yeshuas and nachas and mazel together with your wife and your wonderful children. I'm just holding myself back from telling you the greatest sentence that I ever heard. Right? I got to tell you this. It has nothing to do with the speech, but I'll never forget at her first son's bar mitzvah, she spoke. And she told a story about how she sent her son to camp for the first time. And she was devastated. She missed him terribly. And at that camp, you were not allowed to make calls to your parents throughout the week. You could only call on Friday. And finally, the kid called on Friday. He really had no time for his mother because, thank you so much, because, you know, he was so busy and he was loving camp. And she said to him, just tell me those three words that I'm waiting to hear from you. And he said, I gotta go. I'll never, ever forget that. I just want to mention one more very hush of a person, thank you, who's here, and that's my dear friend, Rav Shlomo Cohen. Rav Shlomo and I have been on many, many fundraising journeys together for his wonderful organization, Yad L'Achim. In a sense, I feel bad because he made appointments to see people and everybody told him they're coming here tonight. So I hope that whatever you are going to give Rav Shlomo, that you'll do that after the shiur. We've gone through a very, very difficult year. Perhaps it's the most difficult year that Klal Yisrael has gone through since the Second World War. I don't have to tell you about COVID-19, Nebuch Meron, Stalin, Ukraine, Surfside, just the other day, Denver. It just doesn't seem to stop. And because of all these things that are going on, we have to think about how we're going to daven this year. We need a better year this year than we had last year. We need a year of kapara, forgiveness, of brocha and atzlocha. And so I want to share with you a very interesting story. And this story has an adorable punchline, but the lesson is so serious. Now, all of us know that in the city of Bnei Brak, on top of a hill, there's a great yeshiva, the Ponovezhi Yeshiva. And for many, many years, the mashgiach in that yeshiva was a great tzaddik. His name was Rav Chatzkel Levenstein. And Rav Shalom Shvadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim, once told me, you will never see a picture of Rav Chatzkel smiling. He was very, very serious. I remember when I was in his presence in his office once in Ponovich, you really felt that he was standing in front of Hashem 24-7. You felt the Shevisi Hashem Leneg Yisomit. He was an incredible human being. And it happened one time that he had to go someplace in Bnei Brak, and he got into a cab together with a Talmud of his. And the cab driver, an Israeli guy, was not religious. He was wearing a necklace and an earring. But he took one look at this rabbi, and he saw, well, this man is holy. So with great derech eretz, he turned to him, and he said, Kvod Rav, can I tell you a story? And Rav Chatzkel said, yeah, of course. So the cab driver says to him, you know, I just got out of the army, the IDF. Me and my friends, we finished our tour of duty. And it was tremendous pressure, and we decided to go on a vacation in a place where we had never gone before. And one of the guys did research, and we decided we're going to go on a safari to South Africa. And we went there, and for the first 4 days, it was fabulous. We were in a truck, and we had a tour guide, and he took us in the habitat where all the animals were living and running around, and it was amazing. The fifth morning, one of the guys said, you know, I'm going to go out and explore on my own. So we said to him, what are you, crazy? It's dangerous out there. He said, nah, listen, we've been out there 4 days, everything was fine. He said, you know, but we had a tour guide and we were in a truck. You know, it's dangerous. He said, don't worry, I'll be okay. Well, he left 2 minutes later. He was yelling and screaming. We didn't know where he was and what had happened. And we run to where his cry is coming from and we see the most frightening thing. A huge snake. Now, I looked it up. It's called an African rock python. If you look it up, you'll see that these African rock pythons can be 20 feet long, and what they do is they encircle their prey and they can crush it to death. They can crush an alligator to death. And this African rock python was around this soldier and crushing him to death. And he was screaming. And we didn't know what to do. We took rocks, we started throwing at it. Sigourney Gehoffen, it didn't help. We took branches off a tree, we started smacking it. It didn't help. Nothing helped. And he says to Rav Levinstein, he says, Rabbi, none of us were religious, but we all knew Shema Yisrael. So we said to him, say Shema Yisrael, you're going to die. Say Shema Yisrael. And the guy cried out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And like a miracle, the second he said Echad, the snake let go of him, fell to the ground, and slithered away. So Rav Chatzko said, so what happened to him? He said, what happened? The next morning he put on tefillin. He came back to Israel, and he became religious. Him and his wife and his kids. So Rav Chatzko said, and what about you? He said, Rebbe, the snake wasn't wrapped around me. Now, of course, that's the dumbest answer he could have given. What do you mean the snake wasn't wrapped around you? You saw a miracle right in front of your eyes. But that's the koyach, that's the power of the Yetzer Hara. If you can give any rationalization that you shouldn't listen and be affected by a miracle, he'll get it to you and you'll follow it. But the reason that I tell you this story is because it's true. That fellow may not have been surrounded by the snake, wrapped around by the snake, that cab driver. But every single one of us, every man, woman, and child that's here and going to be listening to this presentation was wrapped with COVID-19. I pray that none of you suffered death in the family. I pray that none of you had people that were close to you that were on respirators and ventilators. But even if you didn't, everyone was affected, either socially, financially, and certainly emotionally. And if that's the case, this is a time of introspection. This is a time when we have to figure out how can we improve our lot in the next year. And when we come to Elul, the rabbis teach us something so incredible. And I remember, of course I know this for years, but I just want to show you something that my Rav, Rav Shlomo Tanabam, who never passed away 2 years ago, he said this once on a Kol Nidre night. There's a pasuk in Amos that says, Aryeh Shog, Mi Lo Yira? If a lion roars, wouldn't you be afraid? And the Mepharshim say Aryeh, which is spelled Aleph Resh Yud Hey, stands for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashanah Rabbah. Aryeh Shog, if a lion these days are roaring to you, Milo Yero, wouldn't you be afraid? So my rabbi said, I don't understand, I saw the pasuk. And I was wondering, I just took my children, he said, Cholamoy Pesach, to the Bronx Zoo. And we saw a lion that was roaring. And my kids were laughing. They weren't afraid. So what does the pasuk say? Aryeh Shog Mi Lo Yira. If a lion roars, wouldn't you be afraid? My kids saw the lion. I saw the lion. I wasn't afraid. And he said, of course, the answer is the lion was in a cage. And watch this. You will be amazed. You won't believe this. The last tefillah that we say on Hashanah Rabbah, look it up in your machzor, you won't believe it. I have it underlined in my machzor. I could not believe this expression. Yehi Ratzon, we say at the end of Hashanah Rabbah, Shetosir Mechitzas Habarzel, we ask Hashem, remove those iron barriers, Hamafsekes Beinenu Ubeinecha, that separate us from you. In other words, if you put God in a cage, you got nothing to worry about. But then you're not close to God and you don't feel His presence. So just like the rabbi's children, they saw the lion roaring, but the lion was in a cage. And that's what we're asking. We don't want to put Hashem in the cage. Shetosir mechitzas habarzel. Make sure you take away those iron barriers. And you know what I say? I believe that every one of us can answer that roar. You know how I know this? Because the pasuk tells us about the Jewish people. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Balak, Hein om kelavi yokum. We are like a lion that can get up, and like a lion that elevates ourselves. It's true. Aryeh Shog. The lion roars, and it's something to be afraid of. But you know something? We're going to hear the answer tonight. We're going to hear how every single one of us can respond to this lion's roar. It's true. Aryeh Shog, but we are like lions. Hein om kelavi yakum. And we can do that. If that's the case, if we have to respond, what is the response? I believe the first response is to care for each other, to be there for each other, to give chizuk. There are so many people that are down, so many people that are frightened, so many people that are broken. And we need each other to be there for each other. And so I want to tell you the greatest story you will ever hear about COVID-19. This story is so great that in this book that I just wrote, which is called Yom and the Rome with the Magid, I put it as the first story in the book because it's worth the whole thing. And I called this story From Good to Great. And we are going to see in a moment, what does it mean when people, our brothers and sisters, can reach such incredible heights, and we can all do it. Listen to the story that was told to me by the person themselves to whom it happened. There's a woman in Lakewood, her name is Mrs. Devorah Monk. All her life, ever since she came from Germany, she was married in Borough Park. She lived there all the years, and 6 years ago she moved to Lakewood because her children and grandchildren were there. Tragically, shortly after she moved, her husband passed away, long before COVID. But she had her children and grandchildren with her. And she told me last year after Purim, when COVID was at its height and everybody was frightened out of their minds, and we all knew that everybody would have to be alone for the Seder, no children and grandchildren could go to grandparents, and grandparents couldn't go to her. So she knew she would have to be alone for the Seder. And she told me that was so daunting because she said, I have never, since I was a child, ever been alone for a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. Either I was with my parents, my husband, my children, my grandchildren. I was never alone for a Shabbos and Yom Tov. How was I going to make a Seder alone? Now, she has the most incredible neighbors. Now, I spoke to the neighbors and they asked that I shouldn't mention their name. So fine, I'll respect that. So let's call them the Beckers. So Mrs. Becker calls Mrs. Monk and she says, you know, your dining room window opens up to a little garden. And right on the other side of that little garden is our living room. So we are willing to move our dining room table into the living room. We'll open up the window of the living room. You open up the window in the dining room. We'll have our Seder. You sit by your dining room table. You'll be able to hear us. We can have the Seder together. You'll be in your home. We'll be in our home. And it'll work out. You won't have to be alone. And Mrs. Monk said to the Beckers, you would do that for me? You're going to move out of your dining room? She said, of course. You're like a bubby to our children. The kids love you. Of course we would do it for you. Now listen to this. The next morning, Mr. Becker calls Mrs. Monk. And he says, you know, my wife told you that great idea that we thought about? I just want to tell you, we don't want to do it the first night of Pesach for the first time. What if it doesn't work? How are we going to fix it up for the second night? Let's have a trial run. Imagine that. Let's do a Shabbos HaGadol. And if it works Shabbos HaGadol, then we'll know that it's going to work for the Seder. Now, Shabbos HaGadol is a couple days before Yom Tov, right? So sure enough, the Beckers moved their dining room table into the living room. And Friday night, he made Kiddush. The kids sang Zmira. She was by the dining room. She was able to hear them. They could hear her. It was wonderful. Now she knew for sure the Seder is going to be great. Erev Yom Tov, she tells me, the children of the Beckers, they come to the house. They knock on the door. They didn't come in. They had a Seder plate, a beautiful Seder plate. With the Mora, the Haroises, the Karpas, the salt water, everything. It's not enough that they moved their dining room table into the living room and they had a trial run, Shabbos HaGadol. Now they bring her a Seder plate. And the Seder was fabulous. It went to 1 o'clock in the morning. She tells me, 1:15, she's cleaning up. There's a knock on the door. She's thinking, who's coming? Eliyahu HaNavi was here half an hour ago. Who's coming now, right? She opens up the door. It's her children and grandchildren. They walk 20 minutes from where they live. They stopped their Seder to see how Oma's doing, how Grandma's doing. And they said to her, how was the Seder? She says, how was the Seder? It was fabulous. It was amazing. So her son, Yehuda, said, Ma, okay, I'm sure it was good, but what do you mean it was amazing? What do you mean it was fabulous? She said, you know, I've been living here 5 years. I had no idea that the Beckers living next to us are Yekesha people, are German people. They sang all the songs that Daddy sang all the years. Dayenu, everything the way I felt like Danny was at the Seder. And Yehuda starts laughing. So his mother says, Yehuda, why are you laughing? Now listen to what he said. He said, Ma, I didn't want to tell you. A couple days ago, the Beckers called me up and they asked me if I would make a voice recording of all the songs that Daddy sang all the years by the Seder so that he and his children could learn it so they could sing the whole Seder just so that you should feel comfortable. Could you imagine that? You could cry from a story like that. Mika Amcha Yisrael, a whole family is learning the Nagunim of an Almana's family so that she should feel at home at her Seder. That's greatness. That's what it's all about. And if we could only learn that love and that concern for each other, I am sure that would go such a long way to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we deserve a year of bracha and hatzlacha. Now, there's a very fascinating Gemara. And this Gemara asks a question that every single one of us wants to know the answer, especially after such a difficult year. And this Gemara, you could look it up in Megillah Chav Zayin Amud Beis and Kaf Ches Amud Aleph. 28 different students, 28 different Talmidim, asked, each one had a different Rebbe, and they all asked the same question. And it's a question we all want to know. Bama harachta yamin. How did you live long? We all want to survive. We all want to live long, right? So they asked their Rebbe. And it's interesting. Every Rebbe gave a different answer. And I remember when I was learning the Gemara, I was thinking, you know, I also want to live long. Well, how do you figure out which one you're going to do? You got 28 different answers of how to live long. But you know something? Somebody pointed out something incredible, as you will see in a second. Every single one of the 28 Rabbanim, they all answered the question with the same first word. Each one had a different answer, but they prefaced their remarks with the same word. You know what that word was? Miyomai. All my days. In other words, I was consistent. Once I undertook this, I never, ever failed to do it. Now let's watch some of them. They asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel, how'd you live long? And he said, Miyomai, all my days, loy asisi kapandria lebeis haknesses. I never made a shortcut through the shul. If I was on West Englewood, then I had to go to the other side, to the other street. I didn't go through Bnei Yeshurun just to make a shortcut. I walked around the whole block, no matter what the weather was. The second one they asked Rav Preda, how did you live long? He said, Miyomai, all my days. Like, Kidmani Adam Lebeis HaMedrash. Nobody ever came to shul before I did. Every single day, I was the first one there. Miyomai, all my days. They asked the third one, we'll say two more. And the third one said, I never, ever called a friend of mine by a negative nickname, by a derogatory nickname. Like Kinisi Shem L'chaveri. If somebody's name is Yosef and you call him Yossi, there's nothing wrong with that. If a girl's name is Miriam and you call her Miri, there's nothing wrong with that. But we all know there can be very derogatory nicknames. I don't have to tell you that. He said, I never, ever called any of my friends by a derogatory nickname. And the last one said, the fourth one out of the 28 said, I never got angry at home. Never. Miyomai, all my days. And you know something? The Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, points out something remarkable. He says, take a look. If you see a great tzaddik that's living longer than his friends, you know why? Because he undertook to do something that his friends didn't do, but he did it all the time. And then he says something remarkable. Not one of those 28 things says in the Torah. It doesn't say any place in the Torah you got to be the first one in shul. It doesn't say any place in the Torah that you shouldn't make a shortcut through the shul. Every one of those 28 things were midos toivos, were good ideas, proper things to do. And you know what? The Netziv writes, and we're going to talk about the Netziv. The Netziv writes this in Parsha of Tzitzis, in Bamidbar Tezvav Mem Aleph. He quotes Yerushalmi. He says, you want to live long? You want to have a good life? Undertake a mitzvah. V'loy ovar oleha mi'olam. Never violate that rule. Whatever you take. Now I'm going to show you four things. I'm going to give you four ideas. You don't have to use these four, but you'll see the type of things that we're talking about. And the Gemara is telling us, you do these things, they're not derisive. They don't even say in the Torah. But you do it, miyomai, God sees. You're a consistent person. And that's how you live long. That's what the Yerushalmi is telling us. That's what Rabbi Yudah Chosid is telling us. So I'll tell you one thing. I believe that, you know, we've all heard so many people, Nebuch, that were so sick this past year. And not only sick through COVID, but it led to other things. And so many people needed Refuah Shlema. And you know something? The body is an orchestra. There's a colon, there's a spleen, there's a digestive system, a circulatory system. When do we ever thank Hashem for anything that's going on in the body? When you say Asher Yatzah. And you know something? Maybe it would be an idea from now on. And I've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 years. Stand in one place when you say Asher Yatzah. It's the whole body. When do you thank Hashem for everything that's going on? And I'll tell you something that Rabbi Tatz said. We all know Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tatz, a genius. He said something so amazing. How do you say the word skin in Hebrew? Somebody call it out. How do you say it? Or, right? Ayin Vav Resh. What other word can you make with those letters? Ayin Vav Resh. Iver, blind. Why did Hashem do that? This is Lashon HaKodesh. This is the holy language, right? Why did God make it that the word for skin is the same word as blind? You know what he said, right, Tats? Because the skin blinds you to what's going on in your body. If you could look through somebody, you would be amazed at the blood cells and the kidneys and the spleen and the intestines and the colon and everything that's going on, but it blinds us. And when I heard what he said, you know what occurred to me? Even in English, how do you say skin? Another word for skin is hide, right? Isn't that amazing? It's hiding what's going on in the body. When do we ever thank Hashem? So I think it would be a great idea, and I've been talking about this, and I would never, ever ask you to do anything that I don't do myself. Stand in one place for those 9 seconds that it takes to say Asher Yatzah. And I've been talking about this in so many places. I must tell you about 2 calls that I got from 2 different women. One, I appreciated. The other, I could have done without. But listen to this. Here's the first one. The first woman called me up. She said, Rabbi Kron, you are so right. Because in Shemoneth, in Asher Yatzah, we say, Yef Shalamoid Lefanecha. We wouldn't be able to stand. So you say, Lamoid. You got to stand. I said, wow, I never thought about that. That's a nice brisket deal. Yef Shalamoid. The other lady said, Rabbi Kron, I must tell you, every time I go to the bathroom, I think of you. I could have done without that. But okay, I knew she meant well. I knew she meant well. But the idea is, if you take a look at the Siddur HaGrah, you're going to be amazed what he says. He says, this is the only bracha that we mention, Kisei Kevedecha. Kisei Kevedecha is the highest place of Kedusha in the world. God's chariot, God's chair. We don't say it by matzah, we don't say it by Megillah, we don't say it by Shofar, never. Why do we say by Kisei Kevedecha? You know why? The Gaon says, because Chazal wanted to show you that even in the highest Makam of Kedusha, Hashem takes care of the most mundane things. It doesn't say you have to stand in one place by Asher Yatzah, but it's not a bad idea. Miyomai, let's start. Every day, stop and think, whether you say it in a sitter or on a card, even if you say it by heart. But you're stopping, you're not texting, you're not dressing a baby, you're not getting dressed yourself, you're not getting into the car, you're not washing dishes. That's one thing. Here's a second thing. Benching in a sitter. Now, I'm telling you, most of us don't really know Alam Echia by heart. I'm not going to test anybody. And if you're benching by heart, especially on Shabbos, there is no way that you are saying all the words in Ritzeh. And you'll be surprised. When you bench by heart, you're skipping a lot of words. And Rav Shach used to say, he used to quote the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says that if you want to have Parnasa B'Kavayit, make sure that you bench with Kavana. Bench properly. And I'm telling you, you can't bench properly if you're saying it by heart. Now, just 2 Shabbos ago, I was in Croatia. I led a whole group of people. And I spoke about just this point, benching in a sitter. You would not believe. A guy came over to me after the meal. He said, "Rabbi Krum, when did they change benching?" Of course, you know what he meant. He's been benching all these years. All of a sudden, he started benching and he said, "Wait a second, where do these words come from? I don't remember these words." And that's what happens. That's what happens when you start davening by heart or benching by heart. You wonder, like, who changed the nusach here? So benching in a sitter is the second thing. Even al hamichya, to say in a sitter. Here's a third thing. Saying brachas out loud. Why? So that people should be able to say amen. Now listen to this story. Listen to this story. There was a young woman in her early 40s. It goes back a number of years ago. She had a husband who was nebuch very sick. He needed a very, very serious operation. And the doctor said to her, "Look, ma'am, your husband is so sick, I'm afraid to do this operation. He could die on the table. He could die because of the anesthetic. You got to go to a bigger authority than me to rule whether I should do this operation." So she said, "Okay, I'll try to find." And she's thinking, who's the biggest authority? Of course, he meant the biggest doctor, right? But at that time, Rav Moshe Feinstein was still alive. And her husband had learned by Rav Moshe 20 years earlier. He was in the Kollel shortly after they got married. So she's thinking, he said the biggest authority. Okay, the biggest authority is Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm going to go. And she makes an appointment. 2 days later, the doctor calls her up. He says, "Did you find an authority?" She says, "I'm going tomorrow morning." He says, "Oh, very nice. Which doctor are you going to?" She says, "Well, it's not a doctor. It's a rabbi." He says, "I don't believe it. Like, are you serious? You're going to go to a rabbi and a rabbi is going to tell me whether I should operate?" She said, "You said the biggest authority, right? He's the biggest authority." He said, "You know, I don't believe this. Do you mind if I come with you? I got to see this with my own eyes. How a rabbi is going to rule whether I should do surgery or not." She says, "Yeah, I'm going with my father. You can come." The next morning, they all go to FDR Drive, where Rav Moshe is. And sure enough, Rav Moshe greets them, and he gives so much echeres to the doctor. And he talks about the operation and the illness, the extent of the illness and the danger of the operation. And he's listening to the wife, and she's talking about her kids. And finally, Rav Moshe says to her, "You know, you told me that your husband learned in our yeshiva. I don't remember. By the way, do you have a picture of him?" She says, "Rosh Yeshiva, it happens to be that I do, because I carry my wedding picture, and he was in the kollel shortly after, he was in your kollel shortly after we got married." Rav Moshe said, "Let me see the picture." Rav Moshe takes a look at the picture, and he recognizes this guy. Now he remembers him. And he looks at the picture, and he starts crying. He's crying because this guy is in danger. And he's got a young wife and children. And when the doctor sees that Rav Moshe is crying, he turns to the woman and he says, "Now I understand why he can make such a decision. Any rabbi that could cry about a student that he had 20 years ago, God's going to give him the right wisdom to make the decision." And you know something? Rav Moshe told him he should do the operation. But he told the wife, "Your husband should make a kabbalah. He should undertake. From now on, he's going to say brachas out loud." Why? Because when you say brachas out loud, people are going to have to say amen. Amen. Listen, you would think Rav Moshe is a Hasidic Rebbe. Amen, Aleph Mem Nun is equal 91. The word malach, Mem Lamed Aleph Chaf, angel, is also 91. Every time you say amen, you build a malach. Let him say brachas out loud. You'll always say amen. You say brachas out loud, he'll say amen. The malachim that are created, they will protect you. Now, Rabbi Kiss, you brought me some water someplace, right? Where is it? I'm waiting to make the bracha. I'm so thirsty.
It's not an Afikoman water.
What?
It's not Afikoman.
It's not Afikoman water, but this is Pesach. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shakol nei v'dvarai. All the wonderful malachim that we just created. Yeah, I don't know where to put this. Okay. Try to balance it. And here's one more thing. Again, it doesn't say in the Torah you should say brachas out loud. Doesn't say you should say and stand in one place and say Ashi Yotzah. It certainly doesn't say any place that you have to bench in a sitter. But these are all type of things of those 28 Rabbanim. And they all lived long. Why? Miyomai. Tonight, think of something and do it every single time. Here's one more thing. Giving tzedakah before you daven. Now, there's a wonderful organization called dailygiving.org. If you belong part of that, every day you're giving a dollar for tzedakah. It's wonderful. But I'm talking to make sure that you give tzedakah. And I'll tell you a great story. I had a brother, Rav Kalman, over Shalom. He passed away 2 years ago. He's a tremendous tzaddik. And he was very close to the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yehuda Zev Segal. And every year in Elul, he would go after the Rosh Hashiva's wife passed away. My brother would move into the house. He would move from Lakewood to Manchester just to be with the Rosh Hashiva and ask him all his questions. And one day, Rav Segal was walking with my brother Kalman, and he said to my brother, Kalman, you're not letting me live. Because he was asking so many questions on every little thing that the Rebbe did. So my brother was not, you know, afraid of anyone. And he said, Rosh Hashiva, didn't you ask your Rebbe all these type of questions? He said, you're right, you could ask whatever you want. That's what Rabbi Shrier was talking about before, the Gadol Shimusha Yetzim Lamuda. Listen to this. The next night, Rav Segal's going to sleep. Kalman's in the bedroom. Rav Segal looks around and says, Kalman, what are you doing here? He said, well, I just want to see how the Rebbe's going to sleep. And you know what the Rebbe did? An amazing thing. I never heard of this before or after. He had a pushka by his bed, and he gave tzedakah before he went to sleep. So my brother said, Rosh Hashiva, what is this all about? He said, you know, when you go to sleep, that's 1/60th of death. And in the morning, we make the bracha l'kayin neshama shechazarta bi. We give our neshama at night, and Hashem brings us back. Tzedakah tatzil mimavas. I want to be sure that I'm going to live tomorrow, so I give tzedakah before I go to sleep. So I don't know if my brother was makabel to do that. And I'm not telling you to do that. I certainly don't do that. But why not? Makes sense. That was something that an Adam Gadol did. Again, it doesn't say in the Torah. But what if somebody starts that miyomai? Who knows? Rav Segal lived a long life. Maybe that was one of the reasons, because he was makabel something upon himself. So I want to share with you a great story. Many of you certainly know the name Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld was really one of the fathers of the Baal Tshuva movement. He started the Yeshiva Shal Yashuv, and he took kids off the street. He took kids that needed a second and a third chance, and he built them up. He made them feel like $1 million. And they became great, great people in Klal Yisrael. Some of them became Rebbeim. Some of them became wonderful business people at Erlicha, Erlicha Yidden. He was an incredible being. And he wrote a book. And actually, he didn't write a book, but somebody wrote from his shmuzim. And he tells a story that happened when he went to the Chazon Ish for the first time. And this book is called In Search of Greatness. And on page 125, 126, he tells over and he says, the first time I was in the presence of the Chazon Ish, I was so awed. He was the Gadol Hador. I couldn't say a word. I was so frightened. I had a whole list of questions. I couldn't open my mouth. I was so intimidated. But the Chazon Ish told me something. And this is what the Chazon Ish said. He said, the Gedolim of previous generations were not geniuses. And then there are three names that are mentioned. Now, the one who wrote the book, I called him. And I said, who mentioned these three names? The Chazon Ish or Rav Shlomo Freifeld? He said, believe me, I listened to the cassette 10 times and I couldn't figure it out. But whether the Chazon Ish mentioned these names or the Rav Shlomo Freifeld, it's amazing because they're both reliable. Listen to the three names who he said became Gedolim, but they were not geniuses. One of them, he says, was the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. The other was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Yeshiva Yitzchak Elchanan is named after him, the Kovner Rav. And the third one is the most shocking, the Talmid HaChamim, he won't believe it, the Ketzos HaChoshen. Imagine, he said the Ketzos HaChoshen was not a genius. But he said they all had the 4 D's. And try to remember these 4 D's. And this is what makes you great. You don't have to be a genius. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. Desire, dedication, drive, and determination. And you know something? There's a new type of profession these days. It's called a life coach. And there's a great life coach who recently wrote something that is absolutely incredible, and it's the essence of what we're talking about. And he said like this, don't aim to be consistently great. Aim to be great at being consistent. What a great expression that is. Don't aim to be consistently great. You try to hit a grand slam every time, you're going to strike out half the time. Yes, Reggie Jackson. But aim to be great at being consistent. That's what miyomai is all about. And in my humble opinion, that's what the Gemara means on the Shiva Asa B'Tamas, when it says five terrible things happened and one of them was Batel HaTamid. One of the other things was Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. Okay, I can understand, that's terrible. But what's so bad, Batel HaTamid? Because the Korban Tamid, they didn't bring it? So they brought the Chatas, they brought the Oila, they brought the Shlamim and the Toida. No, God wants to see consistency. We want to get the Beis HaMikdash back, we got to go back to Miolai. We have to say every day in our Siddurim, the Korban Tamid. Because Korban Tamid is consistency. Now, I want to show you what it means to be consistent. You know what the Chofetz Chaim tells us? In Sefer Avos Chesed. Umoid tzorech lizoher shelo yechsaloy midas hachesed afilo yoyim echad mimeichayov. From tonight on, if you still can do it, you do a favor for another yid. The Chofetz Chaim says, not one day should go by, miyomai. Not one day should go by that you don't do a favor for somebody else. I'm not talking a husband for a wife for a husband. That you got to do if you know what's good for you. I'm talking about out of the house. So people say, oh, charity becomes, you know, starts at home. Yeah, but you don't become a big Baal Chesed because you brought, you know, flowers for your wife. Or because, you know, your wife made you coffee in the morning. That's not how you become a Baal Chesed. You become a Baal Chesed when you're thinking about other people. That's what we have to start doing. Does it ever occur to anybody that the whole Shemoneh Esrei that we daven is all Lashon Rabbim? Rifa'enu, heal us. Baruch Aleinu, bless us with Parnasa. Shema Koleinu, listen to us. Re'enu Vanyenu, see our problems. We're thinking about ourselves, but really, Chazal said daven for everybody. Of course you got to daven for yourself. You can't daven for other people. Now, we know that this past year there were some great, great people that passed away. And one of the greatest people that passed away, I just was interviewed for an article this morning about this. And I said, one of the greatest people that we lost this past year was Rav David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein, the son of Rav Moshe, the Poisek Hadar. There was no such thing ever that any Rav, any place in the world would call Rav David and Rav David say, this is not my forte. He would paskin on anything. And when he passed away, so of course, you know, I knew him. I can't say I knew him well, but many times I had Brisson in Tveris Yerushalayim, and he was the Sandik. Very understated, very humble person, would answer anybody's question, would do anything for anyone. So at the Shloshim, the 30-day memorial ceremony, so many, many schools wanted to hear about Rav David. So my wife is the principal of Sheva High School in Queens, where Rabbi Malitsky's son was the greatest executive director, and we miss him terribly, but give him my regards. But anyway, at Shevach High School, so they asked me if I would come to speak about Rav David. So of course I did research. I want to tell you three stories about Rav David, then you'll see what kind of person he is. The third one is the greatest. Listen to this. The first one happened Rosh Hashanah. It was the middle of laning. Shul's packed, 250 people there. And a young guy sees his wife comes into shul with their baby. She wants to hear Tkiyah Shofar. And she motions to him. She needs a favor. And she says, you know, I've got to take care of the baby. I need a private place. Is there any place that I could go? He says, the only place I know is Rav David Feinstein's office. You know, let me see if I can get the key. So in the middle of the landing, he goes over to Rav David. And he says, you know, my wife is here with the baby. She needs a private place. Can we borrow the key? He says, yeah, of course. And he gives him the key. Fine. Guy brings back the key, and the wife is in the office. After Laney comes Tekiah Shofar. So everybody's saying, well, I'm not saying seven times. Rav David is not the Baal Tekiah, but he's the Makri. He's the one who calls out. So he's standing at the Bima, and the guy, after Lama Tzeah, is getting ready to say the Psukkim, and he's going to blow Shofar. Rav David says, wait. What do you mean, wait? Just wait. And Rav David looks around the whole Beis Medrash. Nobody knows what he's looking for. He sees the young guy. He calls him up. The guy comes up to the Bima. He doesn't know what Rav David wants from him. He says to him, is your wife finished in the office? He says, yeah. He says, okay, now we can blow Shofar. The Gadol HaDor, he's got the world on his shoulders, right? He's got 250 people in shul. Who's he worried about? That one woman who may not get Tekiah Shofar later that afternoon if she misses it in shul. That's what Rav David's thinking about. Here's another one. One night, it's right before Ma'ariv, 10 o'clock. A guy comes into the Beis Medrash, he says, Rebbe, can I ask you a very difficult shaila right after Ma'ariv? Rav David says, yeah, of course. Rav David looks at his clock. He says, you know, it's 1 minute to 10. Why don't you ask me, begin to ask the shaila now. Guy was surprised. There was no way he could finish Shaila, but David said, fine, he asked him the Shaila. Of course, in a second, somebody bangs, Bahur Rachum, and they daven Ma'ariv. Afterwards, the guy comes over to Rav David. He says, could I ask the Rav the Shaila? He says, yeah, of course. And he asks him the whole Shaila. Rav David thinks for a minute, and he gives him the answer. Fine. The guy's very happy, and before he leaves, he says, Rosh Hashiva, could I just ask you a question? You knew very well that there was no way in 1 minute I could ask you the whole Shaila. Why did you want me to ask you the Shaila? You knew I couldn't finish it. Listen to what a Gadol Hador says about Chesed. He said, once you said it was a difficult Shaila, I knew I would be davening Atachon Eliyotim Das. I would be asking Hashem for wisdom. I wanted to daven appropriately, so I wanted to know what topic you were worried about so I could ask Hashem to give me wisdom in that topic. How many times, I have it in the book, how many times do people ask you for advice? And you don't really know, but you're giving the advice anyway. And Rav Palm used to cry when he said, Hashem, I gave bad advice. You know, many times we think just because somebody asked us, we have to give an answer. You have to be big enough to say, you know, I'm just not familiar. You better get a bigger authority. Who thinks about that? And now listen to this. This is the best. There's a guy in West Hempstead. His name is Ari Hirsch. He's got a newspaper that he gives out in Brooklyn. It's not a serious paper. It's like a country yussy type of thing. And it's like a family paper. He gives it out free all over Brooklyn. And every once in a while, he takes 50 public people and he asks them the same question. And then after a few weeks, he prints the answers from all 50 people. Very, very nice. 3 years ago, the guy calls me up. He says, Rabbi Krohn, you know, I want to ask you and 49 other people this question. Maybe you can tell me, and in a few weeks, I'm going to print the answer. I said, what's the question? He said, if you could invite any three people from other Marishayim till today, any three people to your house for dinner, which three people would you invite? I said, wow, interesting question. I thought about it, and I told him. I said, David HaMelech, you know, he had so many problems in life. You know, any problem that you have, he could surely solve it. Rashi, to me, Rashi was the most kind and sympathetic person, and he knew all the Rashis. He wrote them, right? So anything you want to know, any Gemara, any Medrash, any Tanakh, any Pasuk, you know. And the third one was Reb Chaim Moshe. I felt Reb Chaim Moshe Grzynski was the Gadol Hador, the Zayd of Klal Yisrael, him and the Chofetz Chaim in the 20s and 30s. Fine. Now, I've asked this question to many audiences. And, you know, sometimes when I ask it to women, anybody wants to give me an answer, you know, women will say Rachel Imenu, another one will say Sarah Schneer, some men will say Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. 2 weeks ago in Croatia, again, I spoke about this, the guy gave me the best answer I ever heard, but he was so wrong, but it was still the greatest answer. He said, I would invite Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, and Aaron HaKoyen to make peace. What a great idea. But of course he's wrong. Because Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were not enemies. Bar Kamsa was the enemy with the host. But okay, the answer was a great answer. Fine. A few weeks after, Ari Hirsch called me. He says to me, Rabbi Krohn, I hope you're going to get the edition this week. All the answers are in there. I couldn't hold myself back. I said to him, you got to tell me, who gave you the best answer? I'm waiting, you know, you should say me, right? He says to me, you want to know who gave me the best answer? I said, yeah, of course. He said, Rabbi David Feinstein. I said, you're crazy, right? You went to the Rosh Yeshiva and asked him this question? Are you out of your mind? He said, no, I wouldn't go into the Beis Medrash to ask him. I happened to be walking in the east side, and I saw him, so I figured I would ask him. Hold on to your seatbelts. He asked Rabbi David which three people he would invite to dinner, if he could invite anybody from other Marishan till today. You know what Rabbi David said? Three poor people. Three poor people. 49 out of 50 people like me were thinking, oh boy, if I could have David HaMelech in my house, I'll call the FJJ, you know, I'll call Amodia, Ami, and Mishpacha, you know, get a picture, me and Rashi, right? They'll be fine, right? 49 out of 50 are thinking about themselves, or David is thinking about somebody else. That's what Chesed is all about. That's what the Beckers did in Lakewood to Mrs. Monk. They weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking, how could I help somebody else? And you know something? I'm going to tell you now an amazing Avos Rav Nosson. The Avos Rav Nosson tells us in Perek Daled Mishnah Hei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking with his Talmud outside Yerushalayim. And as Talmud Rabbi Yeshua saw, the Mokam HaMikdash was destroyed. There was no Beis HaMikdash anymore. And he started crying. So the Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan, said to Rabbi Yeshua, why are you crying? He said, I shouldn't cry. How are we going to get kapara? How are we going to get forgiveness? There's no Beis HaMikdash. We can't bring kaparas. Listen to what the Rebbe said. Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai said to him, Beni, my child, al yeira loch, don't be worried. Yesh lanu kapara achas. There is a way that we can get forgiveness. Shehi kumaisa. That is just as good as bringing kabanas. The eizazeh. And what is that? Gemilas chasodim. Caring. Doing for others. And then he brings a pasuk that is so easy to remember. It's Hosea Vav Vav. Hosea 6:6. Listen to this pasuk. Ki chesed chofatzti v'loi zavach. I don't want kabanas. I don't want merom. I don't want Ukraine. I don't want Surfside. I don't want those kabanas. I want chesed. I want to see that you care for each other. Stop thinking about ourselves. Chesed chofatzti v'loi zavach. That's what it's all about. And the Mesillas Yesharim writes, how could anybody hope to manage to get through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur if they don't do chesed? We want God's chesed. We have to earn it. We earn God's chesed by showing that we care about His people. That's really what it's all about. And that's what tonight is all about. Undertaking certain things, any mitzvah, any hanhaga teva, but consistency. Let's not work on being consistently great. Let's work at being great consistently. To be consistent, we have to be great at that. Whatever you undertake between now, make it up from now till Yom Kippur. I'm always going to bench in a sitter. I'm going to stand in one place. I'm going to, whatever it is you're going to do, it's up to you. You have a tremendous Talmud Chacham here at Rav. He'll guide you. He'll be able to, he knows you, and he'll be able to guide you and tell you what is appropriate for you. But we can't walk out of this Elul without making a commitment. That's really what it's all about. So I just want to end with this great story. And again, this is in the book. And the reason that I love this story is because I heard it from Avshalom Shadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim. And every time he told me the story, he cried at the end. As you'll see, and I'll explain to you why he cried. You know, the Rav of Yerushalayim was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. The Rav of Yerushalayim. It happened one year in Elul, right in the beginning of Elul. The Chazan, who was supposed to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, had been davening for so many years, Nebuch passed away. And after the Shiva, the Gaboim and the Shamosin, they went over to Rabbi Yosef Chaim. They said, Rebbe, we got to appoint somebody to daven for the Amid for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So they relied on him. But 2 weeks went by, and he didn't say who he appointed. So finally, a week before Rosh Hashanah, they go over to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, and they say, Rebbe, who did you appoint? He said, don't worry, I told you. I will take care of it. It'll be fine. Now it's the night of Rosh Hashanah. Everybody's going over to the Rav. Finally, they couldn't take it anymore. One guy says, Rebbe, who's davening tomorrow? He says, you'll see. Leave it to me. The next morning, it's right before Tkiyas Shofar, and he's got to appoint somebody, because once you stop blowing shofar, you can't talk out. He goes over to the son of the one who passed away. It's a 30-year-old young man. He says, you go up. You're going to say Ashrei. You're going to say Hidden Thee. The son looks at the Rav and says, Rebbe, I didn't even look over to davening. He says, you'll be fine. You heard your father so many years. You'll go up. You'll do the best you can. You go up. Nobody could believe it. And the guy davened, and after davening, they went over to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, and they showed him something, the Feirish in Shulchan Aruch. Ovel toich yud beis chodesh al ovel ve'imoy also laver lefnei ha'teva. It says the Feirish. You can't appoint an ovel to daven if it's within 12 months of the passing of his parents. They said, Rebbe, how could you have appointed him? He said, look at the end of that. See from Shulchan Aruch. You know what it says? That in Yesh, if Me'ein Chazen Acher, Shara Afila Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If there's nobody better than him, then you could appoint him. He said, you know who's sitting behind the Machitza? The Almana of that Chazen. Every year, for 30 years, she waited for her husband to get up into daven. Do you know what pain she would have been in if somebody else, not in her family, would have got up to daven? She would be crying so hard, we all would have cried with her. And you know why Rav Shalom cried? When he told me the circus, he was a yosem as a child. And he understood what an almona is all about. His mother was an almona for many, many years. And that's why he was so sensitive to this story. And that's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim said. It's more important to let this guy daven, the young man, so that his mother shouldn't feel such terrible pain. We need more yidden like that. We need more attitude like that. Chesed chafatzti v'loy zavach. We come tonight in Elul, such a beautiful thing that the Garden of Mermelstein family are doing. L'zeichen nishmas, their parents and their loved ones. And what a way to go into Elul. What a way to prepare for the summit of Yom Kippur. And we can do it. It's true. Aryeh Shog, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashana Rabbah. But Heim Om Kalavi Yakum Chariyis Naso, we're all lions. We can all do it. And we're going to do it. I believe we can do it. Klal Yisrael is great. Not only the rabbis are great, everyone can be great. We can be the best that we can be. And if we do that, I believe that we'll be zeicha to have a year of brocha and atzlocha and yeshuas and nechamas. I thank you so much for inviting me, and I thank you all for listening.